certainly I disagree with a lot of things that Ben has said, but you certainly can't fault him for not trying to answer what I'm saying. He's getting around to him and trying to deal with everything that I said, as far as I know. The thing he said about 1 Corinthians 13 and the perfect stopping, he says, when the perfect comes for me, you know, because I was talking about how it'd be many different times each individual gets to heaven. That doesn't solve the problem then. That means, even according to what you said, when the perfect comes for me, that prophecy and tongues, miraculous knowledge, would stop many times. In other words, prophecy and tongues, the miraculous gifts, will stop when I get to heaven. That means there'll be no more prophecy and tongues around here. Oh no! If you were to get to heaven 10 years after me, they're going to stop again. How could they stop again? They've already stopped 10 years before. That just doesn't make any sense. Now, he made a good point on 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. He says, basically, I made the point that the contrast there is that faith and hope are going to abide through that which is perfect. And he says, no, that's not what's going on. They're going to abide now, he said. And that would be a good response, but he's misunderstanding the word now. All right? We have and now, that's day, but and now, often implying an antithesis. This word now, beginning verse 13, or the second word of verse 13 in the King James Ben, is nouni. It means with logical import, according to Vines. Like, and I have to get this in. Auburn didn't win any national championships in the 1970s in football, but now Alabama did. I don't mean now at this moment. I mean a logical now. Auburn didn't, but now Alabama did. It's a logical now. That's what this Greek word is. Nouni is the logical now. RT is the now at this moment. That's verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly. Talking about that time. Verse 13 is a logical now. He's saying prophecy, tongues, miraculous knowledge, they're going to stop at that which is perfect. But now, faith and hope, they're going to continue on. It's a logical now, not now at this moment. They're going to go on past that which is perfect. Here's a diagram of what I said a while ago, but it was probably hard to understand. Maybe this diagram will make it clear. Prophecy and tongues and knowledge are going to stop at that which is perfect. But faith and hope, according to verse 13, it will continue on through that which is perfect. But faith and hope, as he admitted, and as these passages on the right say, they're going to stop when we get to heaven, the second coming. And so the second coming, or when we get to heaven, can't be the same time as that which is perfect. Because faith and hope are going to continue on past the perfect. Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge are going to stop at the perfect, but faith and hope will stop at the second coming. That's the logical now in verse 13, being not that now at this moment, as you see in verse 12. Two different Greek words. Now let's look at this. I think I'm going to let this communion under both kinds illustrate something. Every time I found a fault in the Catholic Church, Ben would say something like, that's a fault in the discipline. They're allowed to be wrong about that, but not in the teaching. Most of everything I brought up, I don't see how it had to do with discipline. It all had to do with teaching. For example, here we have the teaching by Paul that the Christians are supposed to eat the bread and drink the wine, the fruit of the vine. This is teaching. I don't know why he's calling it discipline, other than the fact that they were wrong about it in the Catholic Church, so he wants to classify it as discipline to get out of the argument. Now, communion under both kinds was a prevailing usage in apostolic time. These popes condemned people who abstained from the chalice. You mean it wasn't part of the teaching, but they condemned them anyway? It was optional, but they were condemned. It was just part of the discipline. It was okay to be wrong about that, but they condemned them. And then this book says communion under both kinds was abolished in the 1460s by the Council of Constance. You mean the Council of Constance is abolishing communion under both kinds and it's not a matter of teaching? What they say, what they teach, is not a matter of teaching? Isn't that like Bill Clinton saying, it depends upon what is means? What this Council of the Catholic Church taught is not a matter of teaching. And they taught something different. What they taught, the popes way back yonder, said, condemn people. Friends, condemn means they're lost. They're going to the bad place. And that's not a matter of teaching. And now, the Catholic Church has changed back to where you can eat and drink both. That's not a matter of teaching. Every time we find a poke a hole in the Catholic Church and they're being a source of authority, he says, oh yeah, they're wrong. But that's not a matter of teaching. It's a matter of discipline. This is not a matter of teaching. They taught it, didn't they? They condemned people who didn't believe it and practice it. And then they turned right around and changed on it. Cardinal Gibbons said, change is a death blow to infallibility. I agree with him on this. And then he said, as far as the Bible being understandable, I quoted three passages showing that it was. He said it was understandable for them, but not for us. Well, in Matthew 20, 13, verse 23, this is part of the parable of the sower then. When Paul said, Jesus said, he that receiveth good seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. You mean the parable of the sower doesn't apply to us today? It says these are people in the good ground, they can understand it. The reason people don't understand is for these reasons. Think about what that verse said about women preachers. And tell me why 90% of the denominations allow it. Is it because they can't understand it? No, it's easy to understand. Look at that verse. I don't have time to read it. Fred's already told me to sit down. Look at that verse. Is it hard to understand? 90% of the churches allow it. It's not a matter of being hard to understand. It's a matter of being lust of truth. Thank you for your time. I think that's my last speech. So I want to tell you that I appreciate you coming. It took about over 2 hours out of your day, and I appreciate it so much. I appreciate Ben being willing to do it. He did a good job trying to answer what I said, and I hope I try to get around to a few things that he said. And like I said, it was just a Bible study. We want you to take it. It's an important doctrinal difference. You take the evidence and decide for yourself. It's a matter of our eternal destiny. What's right about this?